Welcome to a psychodelicious conversation on mental health issues and trends from two local mental health professionals in the greater Lansing area. I'm Michael Stratton, LMSW.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, DNP, PMHNP, and we're here to provide you with a deep dive into the human experience of consciousness and beyond. Our aim is to be educational and entertaining, so just kick back and open your ears and your minds.
Hey, I'm Mike Stratton.
And I'm Morgan Bowen.
You want me to just start saying I'm Dedalian Lowry? Does that
help? Yeah.
Okay, I'll just start doing that.
And Dedalian is our producer.
Producing.
And we're here to talk about mental health. And we please listen to the first part of this episode, which was on stress. And we're going to talk about solutions to stress or ways to manage stress or deal with stress.
Stress management.
Right.
How do you do that, Mike?
That's it. That's show.
There are so many ways to deal with it. I think about working from it outside in. Like, can you change the thing that's stressing you out? Is there anything you can do about that? Sometimes you can. You can, you know, slow down your work, for instance, or I'm going to take this responsibility off of me and give it to someone else, or I'm going to change that relationship. I'm going to get out of this relationship that's very stressful, or I'm going to make more money if it's financial, or I'm going to seal it. So there's all of those external things you can do. I mean, I think that's one of the first things to look at is, can I change the thing that's stressing me out?
Now, as a therapist, would you ever say, I think you need to quit your job, or I think you need to get out of this relationship?
It would be more reflective. It seems like that job is causing you a lot of stress, you know.
Hopefully that they would come to their own conclusion.
Yeah. It's like, have you ever changed jobs before? What do you imagine that would be like? Or what keeps you at this job? It sounds like it's really stressful, but at the same time, you really feel like you. So much of therapy is also providing that tension of providing the two sides of a dilemma and letting the person kind of work through it. Well, let's talk about, what if you don't leave the job? On the other hand, what if you do leave it? What would you imagine that would be like? Going through that process, you know, I think can be a helpful thing.
It can be. There's a problem-solving aspect to it. Sometimes people come in and there is an identifiable stressor and they need help kind of working through what that looks like to possibly change something about it.
It's problem-solving, but it also reveals like values. It reveals their own narrative of like, I can't quit my job. My dad would hate it if I quit a job, it unveils something about them that it's a rule that they're living under. And sometimes those internalized rules are things that get people stuck and lost. So so let's talk about divorce again. In my family, people had not been divorced. And so I was the first one to get a divorce. And
the American way.
I had to wait till my parents died, you know, and then it felt okay to get a divorce.
Really?
My family was complete opposite. It was all divorces.
And get married to get divorced.
I genuinely, you know, I didn't get married until my 30s, and I genuinely didn't because I didn't want to get divorced. I didn't want to go through that because I watched all my family members go through it. And then I got, you know, waited until 35 and still got divorced. So I was like, all right, whatever.
There you go. That's it.
What is the divorce rate these days? 2/3 from.
Is it 2/3?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it used to be 50%. Our producer
is going to check it out.
You guys keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah. But there's other stress management things. You got some ideas, don't you, Morgan, about.
Well, you know, in my world, as a clinician, people come and they want immediate, well, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes there's, what's the word, management of expectations, because the immediate relief sounds like a good thing. And so medication.
Is there a chemical solution to this?
No.
Yes.
There is not. There is not. It can be helpful with symptoms of stress. So sleeping, a lot of times people are not sleeping if they're incredibly stressed. The brain goes haywire as people lie down. So I feel very tired, but then I lie down and my brain goes in a million different directions about all of the problems that I have or could have. You know, there's certainly things that we can do to assist with that type of thing, but it doesn't take away whatever is happening.
I'm messing with your My ADD.
I'm looking at the.
So 2.5 divorces per 1,000 people. This was in 2021, and then
compute them.
Almost 50% of all marriages in the United States end in divorce or separation. This doesn't give us a year though. And then it says 41% of all first marriages end in divorce.
So going, you know, when I see people and they are looking for that immediate answer, it tells me something about just the level of stress that they're at. If they just want it done, they're on the brink. Things are in a red zone area. Whereas somebody maybe who's coming in for therapy, and I'm sure you see people in crisis coming in, but it's always better to try to address these things before they reach
the crisis
stage, because you can intervene and do things. So one of the things that I really like to talk about is meditation with people as a stress management technique. Mm-hmm. And there's two camps. One is, I've tried meditation and it didn't work for me, or I could not meditate. Nope. So there are some people that, you know, answer in the affirmative, but meditation is not something that you can just start. And as a tool, it's going to, when you're super stressed out or having a panic attack, you can't sit down and deep breathe and meditate your way into calm. It is a practice and it is a lifestyle practice. So the secret to stress management, as far as I see, is maintenance of a practiced of life that lends itself to ongoing stress management rather than crisis to crisis to crisis. Certainly, I have lived crisis to crisis to crisis before in my life, and I think a lot of young people do, and a lot of adults do too. But at a certain point, personally, I was frustrated with, I called it the house of cards. I'd build the house of cards up and then something would happen and it'd all blow down, and I'd build that house of cards up. So when I sought a way to try to address that, it was about building a foundation that was sustainable, that could withstand the winds that would blow down my house of cards. So for me, meditation was a helpful tool for me to maintain a stress level. It doesn't take away my stress, but it does allow me to withstand the stress that comes my way. And I am not perfect at it. I just recently started re-meditating. I'm re-meditating.
I think that's one of those things where when you start it, you kind of drift sometimes, mm-hmm. and then you come back to it again. If you found it to be beneficial.
Absolutely.
I do the same thing. It's like I have periods of my life where I'm pretty good at it. I can do it on a daily basis, and then other points where I'll stop for a good month or two if return, not knowing when I'm going to return, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then get stressed out about the fact that I'm not meditating.
It's true. And that can in and of itself create stress. So in keeping it doable, so 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, there's definitely gurus and practitioners on Insight, mm-hmm. Timer and Calm and Headspace who mm-hmm. Make a full living on being some type of, I don't know, it's not a spiritual guide, but a type of life coach, or, you know, then they seem to meditate all the time.
Transcendental meditation, where you have a mantra that you repeat for 20 minutes twice a day. Mm-hmm. There are people who love that. That's what Paul McCartney.
Do you have a mantra? Does anyone have a mantra?
I had a mantra at one time.
I do not have a mantra.
But I didn't do the
TM. Not for meditation.
I had one that I found online, actually, and I used that for a while. And it was okay. It was all right. But when I meditate now, I use a little bit of a guided imagery where someone does just a few minutes of it, and then he'll have a long period of time where he's silent. And it'll seem like a long period of time. And then he'll say, if you've noticed yourself thinking about something, and invariably I'm thinking about something, making a plan.
Which is okay. It's unrealistic to think that you are not going to think about something.
I do have, I usually do the guided meditations. And I think the ones that crack me up are when I am doing a pretty good job, and then the personal talk, and I'm like, I wasn't thinking. My mind was blank. I was there.
Well, this guy will occasionally say, when did you decide to have that thought? And you realize, like, oh, my God, I never decided to have that thought. Mm-hmm. It just came up that our thoughts just emerge. And one thing that the meditation has done for me is to recognize both, what's my internal narrative? What fires together wires together mm-hmm. in your brain? What are mm-hmm. you thinking of almost all the time? And so much of what I think about is what's next? You know, what do I got to do? What's the next plan? When is this going to happen? You know, it's so much of it is future tense as opposed to living in the moment. Like, isn't this fun?
That's the American way. I mean,
the three of us, who could have imagined the three of us sitting around just shooting it
about meditation,
meditation and dreams and stress. And
I always think it's important when you talk about meditation, because the most common thing that when I talk to people about meditating is, oh, I can't clear my mind for that long. That's not the point. It really isn't.
Yeah.
The point is just to be able to recognize what's going on through your brain. Mm-hmm. So
you start to see.
I didn't know you were a meditator today.
Again, not always great at it though. You know,
I'm.
I have periods where I'm really good, and then other times I'm not.
You should have known him before.
I guess with a name like Dedalion, I mean,
you gotta
be a meditator.
And then exercise is a big stress management technique. Your body will create its own endorphins and dopamine if you put it through some amount of stress. And you get to that point. I did two of these short, they call them sprints, these triathlons, you know, so where you swim for a quarter of a mile. And then you bike for 10 miles, and then you do a 5K at the end.
Did you do the Hawk Island?
Yeah, I did that twice. In my 50s, I did that in my 50s. Oh, nice. And so, you know, what I always say is, as you come out of the trees, you know, for the 5K, and you can see the finish line, you know, it's about a half mile away, but you can see it. And I just say that the sky is open, and you can see your ancestors, you know, call the power. It is that endorphin rush that you get at that point. It's like, oh, my gosh, this feels great. But just doing anything where you're moving your body on a regular basis, even just walking. And these days I'm a walker more than anything else, because I don't know if I've got another. I don't think I have another triathlon in me. I probably could, but I'd like, really, why? Why would I do another one?
You'd be meeting your ancestors.
I would meet. Come on up, Mike.
Seeing you guys a little closer than I wanted.
Yeah.
Yes, exercise, absolutely. And the research, the evidence base really does bore this out. So, and mental health management, stress management is a mental health maintenance approach, primary care mental health. So if you maintain the mental health, it provides protection from the spikes that happen when you encounter a stressor, a car accident, an angry person at Meijer that's, you know, bitching you out in the line, and all sorts of things. Road rage, oh man, you know, I feel like I am very worried that people are in a constant state of road rage. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I need to be aware of that so that I can protect against it. This is kind of off topic, but when I was driving this 127 into, well, I guess it's 127 where the 496 interchange, when you're going north, and it goes down to like one lane, but it's terribly marked.
Yeah.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, whoever's doing the construction in Lansing.
She's not doing that. Don't put it on
horribly
her.
Marked.
Governor Whitmer. She's out there all by herself.
Governor, you know, I'm super fan, but so there was almost this accident, and then there was like a road rage response between the two drivers, and I'm just trying to pivot around what's happening so that it doesn't, you know, impact me. It's stressful. I mean, that driving is stressful.
Yeah, it definitely. That's what I don't like is that it's the other people. And you can see it and feel the stress build around those cars that are doing that.
You know, that it triggers me a little bit, because when COVID hit and
people were driving like 80 miles per hour everywhere.
Well, I went to Meijer at a point when they said, we're going to be closing down the stores, they're only going to be open certain hours and stuff like that. And I went to the store and I saw this wild look on some people's faces, you know, and their carts were just jam full. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. This is the end of the world. Here it is. You know, and you could just see like, you know, I was just coming to get some stuff for the weekend. And there were other people that had this kind of sense, and no telling what they're going to drive like when they get out.
Well, it's such an important point, because we have culturally had just so much of a higher stress point, maybe, you know, a set point for the stress levels, I would say, since probably COVID, maybe before. I mean, all this is debatable. But when there is just this higher stressed out point, the ability or the possibility of spiking to a high, high point mm-hmm. is much greater. And that is, that happens in the individual. If you are stressed, then something that happens, you are going to have a much more erratic or unpredictable response to than if you have maintained the ability to absorb a stressful impulse or a stressful situation. So, and it's on all of us individually to be able to manage that in ourselves so that our stress does not become a reaction or a response to somebody else. And that is a real, it feels like a real danger in our culture at the moment. I don't know. I think a lot of people feel that. And I don't know how real that is, but I'm very wary of when something like this road rage thing happens, that it could become something big. Whereas I don't know if I really felt that way before.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
And there's, you know, there's yet another shooting that just took place down in Florida State, you know, mm-hmm. Michigan State, of course, they had that a year ago, or was it 2 years ago? I don't know.
How many times is recording?
I was thinking of the Parkland shooting, right? That was the high school one. Because right. Some of the students who were involved in this one had been at Parkland during the when they were in high school. I know. Isn't that crazy?
So people, if they have a consciousness about stress and how to de-stress or how to build a sustainable practice, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm just going to walk, I'm going to try to meditate, I'm going to give myself some quiet time, I'm going to try to get myself some good sleep.
Sleep. Sleep is the number one most important thing you can, I'm trying to plug this to everybody. Sleep is the number one thing you can do for physical health, mental health, and stress management is sleep.
It's how you fix a computer. You turn it off and you turn it back on.
Consistent.
Reboot.
Consistent sleep. Consistently sleeping enough hours for you. That can vary. But your body likes consistency. The body as an organism likes consistency.
And another thing is community, you know, of having friends, being able to connect with a community of people. Being able to plug in with people and doing fun things that you like to do. I mean, I think there's a high association of happiness. I think one thing that's very stressful is when people feel really isolated. And there was a book I read a long time ago, The Pursuit of Loneliness. And I think we've only gotten even more lonely over time. And we have all these, you know, we all have this device that we feel like we're plugged in with mm-hmm. everybody. We're not, you know, people are less happy. Mm-hmm. With using their phone.
What are some unhealthy ways to cope with stress, Michael?
Your phone.
Eating.
A lot of compulsive behavior.
TV. Just sitting around watching TV all the time.
Overeating, just interacting with a screen, mainly isolating.
Tell us about your ice cream consumption, Michael. Why do you have a decent approach?
This is Morgan's passive aggressive, anal expulsive tendency.
What? I share it. Well, I think you have
a
pretty good.
Do I know about your ice cream?
It's not terrible. I think you have a pretty good approach to it.
I have 3 to 5 spoons of Ben and Jerry's every night.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, moderation.
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 I did not know this about you.
Yeah. Well, I do that. I do that. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's a stress management technique or?
It's a habit.
It's a habit.
At this point, it's a habit. I can skip it.
I was just thinking about when I smoked. So I used to smoke cigarettes. And when I would feel very stressed out, I would say, I need a cigarette. I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette.
Add to your heartbeat. Turn it up.
I don't know what it was. People have postulated. I don't know why that word just came to mind. But
it gives you endorphins, right?
The deep breathing. So when you're when you're inhaling, deep breathing. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard people say that before.
So I think one thing that we should talk about a little bit is when do people know that they should get help? Because stress is something everybody experiences. When is it so big that someone feels like they need help?
When they're eating 3 to 5 scoops of ice cream.
Not scoops. It's the small spoons.
Teasing.
Small spoons.
Look, I will admit, if I wake up in the middle of the night I'm hungry for something, I get sweets almost every time.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah, I don't know why.
The body is craving sugar or something.
So leave him alone, Morgan.
Yeah. let the man have his ice cream. Well, it's a good question. When do you know? And is it that you know, or is it when somebody else recognizes, somebody maybe around you?
Well, if someone around you recognizes it or suggests that you get it, it's worth looking into to say, like, oh my gosh, if other people are noticing this. I think if you feel really overwhelmed, if it's ongoing, if there's no break in it, if you notice physical symptoms starting to pop up as a result of it, I mean, I think all of those things are possible. Little indicators of like, oh, maybe I should try to get some therapy. Because therapy can help as well. Just having someone that you can talk to who can help organize and notice what your triggers are and pull in the idea of like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? It could be problem solving, but it could also be restructuring your whole narrative of what you feel like you have to do in the world versus what you need to do.
And it's a plug for connection, mm-hmm. a support network, community engagement. When you're around other people, they notice things about you and maybe say something to you when you seem off or you seem stressed out or you're acting like a real big, you know, whatever.
Having a cat. Cats can help.
And that's a good barometer for some people. And isolation removes you from that and removes you from the input from others. For me, you know, if you do develop a stress management lifestyle protocol that you feel good in and then move forward in your life, you almost build a memory, a somatic memory to that. So if you begin to feel or go through a period, you can stop, hopefully, and that say, I don't like feeling like this. I don't want to feel like this anymore. Yeah. I don't want to feel like crap anymore.
Yeah,
I got to do something different.
And that's the bottom line. You know, if you do something and you do notice that it makes you feel differently, then you can habituate around that. You know, so there's certain things that I do that I know I'm going to feel better as a result of this. I talked about yoga in the first episode of this, you know, of just doing a yoga class that I know I'm going to feel better after doing it.
Did you ever do yoga in the 70s, like back in the hippie dippy 70s yoga day?
I think I started, I used to walk by the studio where people were doing yoga and I thought, that looks like that's not even exercise. They were just standing there holding poses, you know, and it's like, so I went in to do it one time just to check it out. And 30 minutes into it, I'm just like shaking all over and sweating. Yeah, it's like, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. All of your little stabilizer muscles are.
Do you find it a meditative practice or more of an exercise?
It can be both. I mean, that's the nice thing. It yokes together both the meditative kind of quality and also what's going on with your body. So there's some things that build strength. There's some things that increase flexibility, and there's some things that improve balance. And the older I get, the more balance in particular is really important to me. So that's, you know, to be able to do the tree, to be able to stand on one leg, that kind of thing. And there's other things that people in that class can do that I'm like, there's no way I'm going to do that. There's no.
Right. Some people, Now, what about substance use? So a lot of people find a glass of wine relaxing, stress relief with marijuana. What do you think about that?
What do you think about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, for some people it is. I do know. I mean, for some people it is. A glass of wine with dinner, so you come home. Definitely from a chemical perspective, addresses central nervous system as a depressant, alcohol in particular. So there is that. It can get dicey when your stress relief or stress management is based on a substance and it's not something that you are able to do or to induce on your own.
Yeah.
And then you rely on something and begin to see it opens up the door, beginning to see that as the gateway to stress relief. And that can set up a problematic relationship, I would say.
With the substance. We have episodes on different substances as well, so people can look into that. And that's good. I think we're done here.
Ha, 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 ha,
Psycho Delicious conversation is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is no substitute for therapy and should not be treated as such. If you feel a need for real therapy, you should consult your local provider, Google therapy or therapists in your area, check with community mental health or a suicide hotline if you are feeling suicidal.
Mike and Morgan welcome your questions, feedback, or dilemmas. Feel free to send us an email at apsychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com. That is a psychodelicious, psychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com.
The views expressed on this podcast are solely the opinions of Mike Stratton and Morgan Bowen, and do not reflect the views or opinions of any site broadcasting this podcast. Replication of this podcast without written permission is strictly prohibited.